Good evening. A government plan to invite private companies to maintain India's best-known monuments has many seeing red over news that the Dalmia Bharat Group has adopted the iconic Red Fort. A MOU has been signed between the Ministry of Tourism, the Ministry of Culture, the Archaeological Survey of India and the Dalmia Group. Dalmia will now look after the maintenance of the Red Fort and the Gandikota Fort in Andhra Pradesh over the next 5 years under the Government of India's Adopt a Heritage project. In fact, the Tourism Ministry, along with the Culture Ministry, the ASI, they've all which manage these sites, have already shortlisted 24 companies for the adoption of 76 monuments around India. And the reactions have been mixed. Depending on who you meet with, it's either met with enthusiasm, hesitation, and dread. The opposition has accused the government of trying to commercialize everything. They're asking why the government cannot spare 25 crore rupees on the monument that the Dalmia Group has agreed to spend. And we the people are asking, should corporates manage our heritage? Can corporate expertise help run monuments? Or is the government abdicating its responsibility? Is national heritage of transcendent value that should be held above commercial interests? On the show tonight, we have first and foremost Sir Amarnath, who wears many hats, writer, hotelier. He's an architectural restorer and the founder and chairman of the Neemrana Group. The Professor Mridula Mukherjee, a historian and member of the Indian National Congress. Anjali Leela Menon needs no introduction. She is... Sorry, then we let you correct that in a minute. Go ahead. How would you like to be introduced, Professor?
I'm a historian. I've taught all my life at JNU. That's all. I've never been in any political party.
Are you not a member of the Indian History Congress?
History Congress. You said Indian National Congress.
I beg your pardon. Thank you for correcting me. The Indian History Congress. Anjali Leela Menon needs no introduction. She is one of India's leading contemporary artists. We have Dilip Chedrin here. He is a communications consultant, co-founder of Perfect Relations Film. K.K. Mohammed, he's archaeologist, former regional director of the North of the ASI. Prerna Bindra, author and wildlife conservationist. We have Mr. Mohammed Khan of the Congress joining us. And we have Dr. R. Balashankar of the BJP. I hope everybody else's introductions are correct. And then we can start. Apologies, Mridula, again. But let me start with you, Professor Mukherjee. The Indian History Congress, it is a professional, it is an academic body of India's most eminent historians. It has come out strongly against this. It says it's used words in a statement like greatly perturbed, anguished over the terms at which the Red Fort has been handed over. What's the harm? It sounds like corporates have the funds. The ASI doesn't have these funds. It has the expertise. It sounds like a win-win for all.
Well, I think firstly, it's a wrong statement to say that ASI does not have the funds. If the ASI doesn't have the funds, the government can give it more funds.
Okay.
So I don't think we are so poor today that we can give a reason like 24 crores over 5 years. The government of India cannot afford to maintain one of its prime monuments. So I think the cost argument we should just put aside, because it's neither here nor then. You can't persuade anybody that 24 crores is such a large amount that you need corporates to come in. The issues are very different.
Okay.
And I think the History Congress is taking this stand because of its earlier experience of how even better models, where, for example, the Aga Khan Trust, which has been working in the Humayun's tomb and the surrounding areas for the last many years, and has much better credentials than a cement manufacturing company, to actually intervene in the field and take over. There have been lots of issues with the manner in which the conservation of the actual Humayun's tomb has been done. And there have been serious objections by historians about interference with what originally was the design, what was the material. And in fact, they've called it reconstruction rather than restoration and maintenance.
But that would leave the ASI. So are you happy with the job that the ASI has done?
I think, suppose one of the arguments one hears all the time is surroundings are not properly maintained. For example, toilets, cafes, canteens. Now, you can't, in my university or some other place or in your office, that may be true as well.
Hmm.
Some things are not properly maintained, so you maintain them. You find ways of doing it rather than saying, I need Bharat Cement to come and maintain my toilets. I think none of those arguments work for me. I don't think the argument of money works, I don't think the argument of the private sector can do it better works. So I think in the world over also, there are many different models in which things work. And I think when we are talking about the Red Fort or the Taj Mahal or Konark or Ajanta, you know, iconic monuments, I think we have to think about these very seriously. Let's say we talk about a Harappan site. That would be a major tourist attraction. Now imagine handing over something like that, something so precious, which is so many thousands of years old. Only people who are really trained and skilled can maintain it. Yes, they are not properly maintained. Okay, answer okay. is don't hand it over. Do a better job. Find ways okay. of doing better job.
Amarnath, you worked in this business. You've been restoring old monuments for homes, etc. How does this work? Does the does a corporate house have the professional expertise to take over something like this?
Absolutely. I think that, you know, if you're not part of the solution, you are part of the problem. We've been watching a deterioration of buildings, and we keep saying the government will do better, can do better, but they haven't done better in so many years. So it can be funds, it can be passion, it can be a list of whole things. So first I want to clarify what Neem Rana does. We do not restore listed buildings.
Correct.
We wouldn't turn the Taj Mahal into a hotel. That wouldn't be allowed. It doesn't make sense. So we are talking of derelict ruins, which like the Neem Rana Fort.
But you have the expertise to comment on this.
No, no. So that's what I'm saying.
You know what it involves to restore something that's hundreds of years old.
Yes. If you talked about 50 years ago, it was another story. Today, there's enough people in architecture. There are enough specialists. There are people who studied abroad, people who studied here. So
are they part of the Dalmia Group?
No, but the Dalmia group must hire them.
Okay.
You don't expect Mr. Dalmia himself to go and say, because I make white cement, I'm going to plaster it, you know. I think that when we're making a comparison, we're talking about responsible corporates and responsible citizens.
Okay, so a corporation has a CSR fund. They want the branding. They want to be acknowledged with, restoring the Red Fort. They can donate the funds to the ASI.
Exactly.
Couldn't
they? No, I didn't. And still get their plaque like and still put that up?
Okay, let me give you an example. At the Metropolitan Museum in New York, you enter, they have the most spectacular flower arrangement, which you look at and say, wow, okay?
No, and the
ASI,
donor's list.
No, and it says there, gift of Mrs. Daisy Fellows, who was a millionaireess and editor of a prominent magazine. When she died, she left a fund. The interest of that pays for this extraordinary flower. So why can't we put a name to something? We can't.
No, that's what we're saying. Give the money, get your name, get your tag, get your plaque.
Yes.
But why do you have to actually do the cleaning up, the restoration? I'm just saying a 400-year-old building.
Because it hasn't
happened. You will know this better than I. If I have to clean up a 400-year-old building, it's not like using Dettol and bleach like I do in my home.
No, no. They would have to be responsible. There are some norms, you know. There are some basic norms. So why do we start being as hyper and saying they're going to mess it up, they're going to ruin it? I was part of a meeting that happened many years ago. The Tata Group had been given the Taj Mahal, okay? So the whole thing was, again, the same frenzy, as if they were going to run away with the Taj Mahal and take it somewhere, you know? It's getting ruined. They don't have the means to. And the Tata has contacted us saying Neem Rana does very good heritage toilets. Can we collaborate? So obviously,
you're saying in your experience, reach out to the experts.
They
the
must.
Professionals.
They will, and that can be part of the norms that you must get it done from.
And
special.
This was under the Congress when it happened. We'll get back to that. But Anjali Ila Menon, can you come in here? What is the problem? On one hand, all our monuments are derelict, they are being damaged. You can't visit one monument without knowing how much Pinky loves Varun or whoever it is. And then on the other hand, you have somebody who's willing to come in to work on this. Professor Mukherjee is not too happy with the Aga Khan Foundation's work on the Humayun's tomb, but most would agree it's been fabulously renovated. So what's the problem? Why is this different from what the Aga Khan group has done with the Humayun's tomb?
I have no objection in principle to this move, but I'm very worried about two or three things. One is, where is the ticket money going? Because I believe, and I think somebody came on NDTV to say that a few days ago, I believe that the ticket money alone from the Red Fort is over 50 crores a year. So I think what we have to do is to see that the government reverts that money to that monument and spends it, whereas this money will just go into the government coffers and they will then dole out money as they feel right to the monument. Second thing that I worry about is the aesthetics of what these companies will do. I mean, I don't want Mrs. Somebody, so-and-so, suddenly to say, huh, let's build a cafeteria here in nice bright colors. I want someone or a committee within the ASI to vet whatever aesthetics are going to be perpetrated in these places.
According to the government, there is a committee. A committee is going to have a member of the ASI, it's going to have a member of the Dalmia Group, it's going to have somebody from the ministry.
Just for instance, one of the things that must happen is that the facades of anything that is newly built should conform to the building where it is. The materials, the colors, and what happens inside is a different matter. But I don't want to see those horrible white tiled toilets coming up all over.
No, but
I'm also worried about what is this thing about them being allowed to advertise within the monument? What form is that advertisement going to take? I think that this 25 crores that they're getting or they're giving is part of their CSR. So on top of that, why are they being given the right to advertise their products?
Okay, so as it all boils down to the money. Said, you've touched upon what Mridula has also pointed out. Dilip, can you come in here? Historian William Dalrymple has tweeted saying there must be better ways of maintaining the nation's greatest monuments and by auctioning them off to a corporate house.
You know, unlike everybody else, I'm actually quite delighted it's happened, first. I'm also quite sure of yet another thing. Mr. Dalmia Bharat is not going to get very far in this because he doesn't know what a wonderful bureaucracy we have called the ASI. They won't let a thing happen. Meaning, forget the committee. The problem of getting anything past ASI. I have a very large corporate client who had donated a large sum of money to a monument here in India. And all they wanted was a little plaque outside. It has to be the regulatory blue. It has to be, which fortunately was the company's color, so there's no problem with that. The fact is that they will give you a merry-go-round. Don't worry about that. So if it is an ASI monument, the nation has no reason to worry. Those guys know exactly what they're doing. Taking Aman's point, the great thing that Dalmia Bharat can do here, besides getting happy publicity as a result of all this, is that they can bring in experts who the ASI may or may not access or will not be willing to put out enough for. So I think that would
be
a great thing.
Will they bring in the experts?
So the thing is that, you know, the pressure on them can only be built by, you know, by making sure that people are watching and we the people have a responsibility to make sure.
Okay, but I want to talk about the money angle, because Mridula started off first by saying, how do we know that the ASI doesn't have the money? Why have we gone this route?
You know,
if you talk about tickets, Shashi Tharoor has tweeted saying that according to the BJP government statement in Parliament, the Red Fort generated 6.16 crores in 2013-2014 in revenue. With tourism inflation, that should be 7 crores. Why is the government leasing it for 5 crores and taking a voluntary loss of 10 crores in 5 years? The point, other reports say that Red Fort makes more than 25 crores, but that is not the amount that is spent on the Red Fort, because that money goes to the tourism ministry and they allot it to other monuments, etc.
Mr. Tharoor knows very well that any revenue which goes into the government goes into the Consolidated Fund of India. And thereafter, it is dispersed as per the budget. So
correct.
There's no question of saying, oh, I collected so much money, this is my money, I'm going to restore Red Fort with it. Yeah. That's
no,
not
my,
how,
my,
how it
my
works.
My question is, was this the only option? Perhaps
it
an
is
option
a great
is
option.
To have financial autonomy for the
reason I think it's a great option is that I think it's high time the government got out of being the only spender on this. It's high time individuals and corporates understood that it is our collective responsibility,
but
not only to leave it to government.
If they're making 25, they're supposed to spend 25, but they're making 25 from tickets.
No, but they're not getting that money.
No, there's no way
they can lay their hands on that money. Again, I assure you, between the ASI and the wonderful bureaucracy of the government of India, they ain't going to see any money. They're going to spend this money, they're going to be accused, they're going to be pilloried, or questions are going to happen in parliament, all of that going to happen.
No, I would,
so
I
there would is no doubt that companies need to be encouraged to do this kind of thing, because one, it shows commitment. Two, it must come out of whatever funds they use. It doesn't matter whether it's CSR funds or not, because much of these, many of these funds also just, you know, go into some, you know, relief fund or something, of some foundations which we don't know what happens. At least here they are accountable. Secondly, I think it's high time that each corporate thought for itself how to bring the surroundings of these monuments into a state which the ASI has 70 years proven track record of being incapable and incompetent of doing what is necessary to make it accessible to tourists of the kind that these monuments deserve to attract.
No, I have more to say. You know, in 1902, in Curzon's time, there was a list made of 2,000 monuments in Delhi. And that list is now reduced to less than 50%. So that obviously means that the government is not capable. You know, people are encroaching. You know, a bulldozer comes and suddenly a Lodhi monument has disappeared, so, and no action is taken. So we have enough.
And I think there are lots of such. If you create enough encouragement for corporates, they will do things with unlisted non-ASI properties, and that's when India will really start to re-establish.
Should we have started with one of these instead of the Red Fort, which is already making money from tickets? That money could have been ploughed back into the Red Fort through the ASI, given
it
a chance to
for years. No, no,
else.
No, no. What
no,
we don't know is that
times that
about
amount.
25 years ago or 30 years ago, I remember advising a very large hotel group to go and take over the Jantar Mantar, and they've been doing a wonderful job with the gardens. It's they've got a little branding somewhere on the side, not noticeable anymore, thanks to the ASI, but it's there. And they've been spending the money along with the light, for the lighting as well as for the gardens. Great thing. I think if it works, let it shine. And I don't think we need to worry about it.
Okay, we actually do have KK Mohammed. He's the former regional director north of the ASI joining us now. So, Mr. Mohammed, if you can hear us, give us your reaction, because right now the only thing everybody is in agreement on is that the villain of this whole piece is the ASI, and for 70 years I'm not sure when it was created, they've been doing nothing. And that's why our monuments are in such bad shape. Of course, we know you have a huge financial crunch, and yes, the government needs to allocate money to you, but come in here on this debate.
Actually, Archaeological Survey of India, he has been doing a very, very good work, very beautiful work, but it has not got the proper acknowledgement. And as far as the fund is concerned, that ASI is short of funds, and especially for the peripheral works also. So what we have to make very clear is that this is neither leasing out the monument nor selling out the monument, but it is only ad hoc heritage. And that adopt heritage, the fund is being spent in those areas where Archaeological Survey of India is short of funds. So there are certain areas where we are lacking, and also in these places, these people, that is the corporate houses, they can pool their funds. For example, we don't have an international good quality toilet in a monument. There, these people can come. And also, I mean, for a good cafeteria, they can come.
But why couldn't you hire someone to design a good quality, international quality toilet all these years? Why do you have to wait for some private company to come in, a cement manufacturing company to come in? But, sir, perhaps can you just first clarify what exactly is the revenue generated by the Red Fort?
Yeah, by the we have been short of funds. So the,
but how much is the revenue generated by the Red Fort? What is the footfall at the Red Fort?
Last year, last year it was 17 crores of rupees. So
in 1 year, 17 crores.
Yeah, 1 year.
And now you want 25 crores over 5 years from a private organization.
Over 5 years, it would be That is what I'm coming. No, over 5 years, it would be 85 crores. So are we selling this monument for 25 crores or not? That should not happen. See, I mean, if you are getting 17 crores of rupees in 1 year, over a period of 5 years, it would be 85 crores. So are we selling our monument for this 25 crores? That should not happen. They should actually willingly, they should generate their own fund and they should spend for the monument. And for that, we can give a plaque. That's all.
Okay, Mr. Balachandran, can you respond over here? We have a former director of the ASI saying 17 crores a year. Why have you given this? Yeah. Why has the government given this contract to a private company for just 25 crores over 5 years? And is the government abdicating its responsibility? The government is responsible for heritage, just as like it is for education and for health.
No, here the government.
Sir, go ahead. I'm asking my question to you.
No, they should clarify whether they are taking this 17 crores of rupees or not. Sometimes they may say, no, we are not taking, and we are spending our own corporate social responsibility fund. Now, there
Dr.
are
Balashanga,
two
do you hear my
one,
question?
Yeah, you are Hello? Now there are two models.
He's talking, that is why I'm not saying anything.
No, but I want you to answer the question. I've heard Sir's point. Will you respond? Is the government abdicating its responsibility
See,
here?
The government is not abdicating its responsibility, but what we have to see is, we all agree on one thing, that in the last 7 decades, we have not been happy with the way our monuments were protected, maintained, or it was marketed. Now, what the government is trying to do, see, there are examples of any number of countries with very little history and very few monuments. They have been able to attract tourists and maintain their monuments in a much better way and create a lot of attraction world over. But in India, what is happening is, our monuments have been known for Romeo graffiti, spittoon, and dirt. And this has to change. We are trying to bring in corporate response. We are saying it is a national monument. National monuments means it is not only the government. The people's involvement is involved. Corporate involvement is involved. And we are trying to market it in a way that people will get attracted to go there and visit these places. And these monuments are seen world over as places where you can learn about history of India. And this is the wealth of India.
No, but how do you decide who to give this contract to? Who's
no,
on the panel?
This is not being
does the company
the way,
only need money? Does it need any professional background?
They are only maintaining. For example, I tell you, Metro Rails, they had given their railway stations to some corporate houses, asking them to maintain them. And their experience is very good. Many of these railway stations are
But a railway station is not more
no,
than 70 years.
What we are saying,
exactly
no.
comparable.
It's built no, at the earliest by the East India
coming
Company.
There to make it clean, make it better, more attractive, and also when a tourist goes there, he will have a proper ambience to visit the place.
But sir, we comparing a railway station with the Red Fort.
We can give a contract for cleaning. Like.
No, no, sir. That we have tried. We have tried. We tried for the last 70 years.
Okay, can I just say something, Sara?
1 second. I just want to ask him about the question. Why 25 crores? How did you decide on that amount, 25 crores? If we're being told that in 1 year the Red Fort makes 17, isn't 25 crores a really like low ball?
No, I understand two things. First of all, about the ticket money, the ASIC is getting the money. The money is not going to the corporate. And secondly, it is going to be monitored by the ASIC. Every action of the corporate house, which is going to maintain these monuments, it will be looked after, it will be taken care of by the ASI, by experts. But ASI has a problem, it has manpower problem, it has money problem. So in a situation like that, we are only supplementing.
Should you be strengthening the ASI? Governments
no,
like yours and
giving money is
governments
not the solution.
Have weakened them over the years by not giving them enough funds. Like
no, where is the money coming from?
Of
tourists
funds.
Are not
going. Yeah. So this gentleman says, so two things first I would react to. He said for 70 years, there's been a complete failure. So one of the monuments, I mean the national monuments, which are on adoption, is the Kaziranga National Park, which by no standard is a failure. It is the government's success story where the number of greater one-horned rhinoceros, a critically endangered species, has increased. Why is that? And it attracts 80% of the tourists in Assam. As far as wildlife tourism is concerned. So on what basis are we saying that it is because it's a failure? Second, on what criteria is the company chosen was the second point which comes up. And your website says most competitive and innovative. These are the two criteria. Where is the word conservation? What is your criteria? And you're handing over, these are national parks protected by Wildlife Protection Act and a host of other environment laws. And we are talking of Kaziranga, which has critically endangered species like rhinos, elephants, national heritage animal, national animal, tiger. It has otters, it has wild buffalo. They are all critically endangered. How do you hand this over to a, what is the value added that a private company, whichever company that may be, will add to a national park, which has actually has the sweat and tears of people to conserve it? forest guards and the local people who take so much pride in the protection of a rhinoceros. Where is the consultation? The state is not aware that I spoke to wildlife officials today in Assam, in Kaziranga. Nobody is aware that such a scheme is going to happen. In Goa, monuments have been given. Governments are not aware there, whether they be tourism, whether they be wildlife, whether they be culture. Morji in Goa has been handed over already. Morji is one of the last remaining turtle beaches of the western coast. So I would say various, and as one, just one last point, you talk about committees. All the three committees in this has no representation of the Ministry of Environment and Forests, even the government. No wildlife people, no state people, no conservationists, no local, even the local level committees have no representation of the park director, no representation of local people. What is this about?
Mr. Balashankar, you should be given a chance to respond.
Yeah. See,
big sigh. Go ahead.
Can I just add a question? The parliamentary committee that went into this, what I've read in the newspaper, actually said no, and said begin with some smaller, less important monuments, and said a big no to this model being adopted for the important monuments. Now that is, the public speaks through the parliament. Why is the parliamentary committee's recommendation being just shoved aside?
And Sundarbans is also up for adoption.
Mr. Balchandra,
the orphans.
Yeah, one is, we are talking about Kaziranga and this kind of preservation of wildlife, and that is a separate issue altogether.
Absolutely.
We are talking about monuments.
Why is it clubbed together then?
It's clubbed together.
For adoption.
They are already inviting
expression of interest. If you're even talking of facilities outside, there is Environment Protection Act, there's ecologically sensitive zones, and one of the things that the tourism minister of Assam said, private party who is adopting it will do, is build toilets. I thought we had Swachh Bharat, which has 18,000 crores per year budget. That's a flagship species. You mean it? They don't have money to build toilets? You have to get a private company.
Sir, do you have a response? Otherwise, we'll get in the Congress. Okay, doesn't have a response. Go ahead, Mr. Khan. The Congress spokesperson, Randeep Singh Surjewala, said the Prime Minister should be ashamed that they can't find 5 crores to keep for the upkeep of the Red Fort. But it was the UPA who had proposed this idea that corporates would get involved. It was the UPA that did it. So why suddenly is this election season, so everything the government says should be opposed?
Well, no, I think the benefit of speaking at the end of such a distinguished panel is that some of the best points have already been made. And my job is simply to summarize them. And sir, with his beautiful silence at the end of these questions, affirmed what we've long said. This is an example of lazy policy making. This is not what the Congress envisaged. Ms. Mukherjee pointed out to you what the Congress did. We brought in the Aga Khan Foundation, an organization that has experts with over 35 years of experience in this field who've dedicated their life to this. People from Ivy League universities with excellent credentials.
But you're still criticizing the Aga Khan Foundation, so that means...
I just finished my point. Of course.
But one is not condemning that.
Of course. Exactly. No one's condemning
that. But what did the Congress envisage then? When you mentioned that corporates could come in and, take over or look after the maintenance of heritage monuments?
Heritage monuments particularly are not like railway stations, as my friend tried to draw an erroneous comparison. Heritage sites require the presence of experts. They require enormous care. Archaeology is a field that is defined by patience. Now, I want to take you to something which I'm surprised no one has said yet. This entire week, and I'm sure you've seen all of this, Mr. Alphonse has been on a damage control spree. In fact, ma'am and I were on a debate where he had come forth and given this long-winded speech about the minimal nature. And I'm sure Mr. Cherian will be disappointed by this, because the way Mr. Alphonse put it out is that these people's responsibility will be limited to building toilets and providing Wi-Fi. Which brings me back to another point some panelists made. Why don't you issue tenders for that then? Which brings me to another point another panelist made. What is the money under Swachh Bharat being collected for? Which brings me to another point that one of the other panelists made and affirmed by the director of the ASI. You are collecting a large sum of money. It doesn't matter if it goes into the Consolidated Fund of India. You're standing here. You're telling me. You're condemning the work done by the governments before you. You're saying we are going to give it a priority that's never been ascertained, and you give it to a cement manufacturer. Who are the other three bidders, sir? Weren't they Indigo Airlines, GMR, and one more corporate entity? Because you set the terms of reference in such a broad way, you didn't invite experts. Another panelist, Prerna made a very, very important point. Where were the experts? Ask him. When the high powered committee, and someone asked Mr. Alphonse this, you constituted a high powered committee of bureaucrats. None of these people are specialists, they're generalists at best. Not one historian was on the panel. I dare them to say otherwise. Mr. Alphonse's defense to that he also wasn't on the panel himself. You asked about the standing committee, headed by Derek O'Brien. Derek O'Brien has nothing to do with the Congress. The Indian History Congress, despite the name, has nothing to do with the Congress, as ma'am pointed out at the very outset. They have nothing to do with us. This is an example of poor policy decision making. And the fact that the government, the minister is unable to justify the decision, the fact that there are all these seven questions put before you, that has to beg you to ask the same question as well. And let me tell you, the only project with which, and this is my concluding point and the answer to your question, you say that the Congress initiated this as well. The Congress, if I recall correctly, proposed something like this for the Taj Mahal. And the idea was that an entity, a credentialed entity would come in. It wouldn't be given away by way of auction where the criteria is financial soundness, right? It would have to be base motivated to do.
But
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that.
The Tata's got it.
Yeah, exactly. The Tata Trust, which I'm sure you'll acknowledge, sir, is not comparable to the Dalmia Group. But finally, I want to say this.
No, but that didn't happen.
No, it didn't come through. But I'm saying because they're trying to compare the policies.
No, but everything doesn't happen, you see.
But the policy exists.
I'm sorry.
Jantar Mantar is no ordinary structure. It's been handed over.
We are not principally opposed to the Dalmia Group. We are not principally opposed to anyone. If you're taking a wise policy decision, a well thought out policy decision, one which brings on board all stakeholders and represents a step forward, then of course everyone will stand with you. The fact is, you took a poorly thought out policy decision. The chairman has tweeted saying, I thought the policy was still being discussed. They didn't tell us they were going to announce it like this. And finally this, in 2014, you campaigned as the party with a difference, the party with new ideas. It is embarrassing that every time someone asks you, your defense is, oh, but the Congress did it. I think that's the weakest link in
the argument.
The fact is that it's already a ball which has been set in motion a long time ago. You may wish to deny it, and you may pretend. And the second thing is that nobody is handing over a monument. I think there seems to be. I think it's a good word to use to pillory a government, which is the job of any opposition.
But
that's okay. The point is that you know that in case after case where any such monument has been handed over to a corporate sponsor, all they get are a set of rights which are well written out. So there's no question if it is confined to Wi-Fi and toilets. Joy to the people, because there is
so
no doubt.
So then it's not path breaking in any way.
Then
anyway,
not,
then
no,
we shouldn't
not
be having
path breaking. Is okay.
No.
Making sure that you accelerate the process is a good thing in any government. And I think that the Kaziranga example is an example which is worth noting for just half a second. If you give a successful example out and corporates come, as you know in India, there's always a bunch of followers who will come and imitate. And you will find people who want to sponsor other parks which also need, but within those limits. You must make sure that wildlife conservationists are part of that process. I agree with that point.
There's no word called conservation in the entire document.
But what
there's
do you
no
imagine?
See, so okay.
let me just focus on one organization that does have the expertise to have handled a project like this, which is Intact. And we have Swapna Little. She's the convener of the Intact's Delhi chapter. You all weren't consulted, reached out to in any way before they went to the private companies.
We are absolutely on par with every other citizen of this country. Just we can react to what has been happening. I think my main problem is that we've had very little clarity on how this is going to work. And personally, as far as I can see, I would say that, yes, great. I mean, if you can add funds, and I personally believe that the funds are going, I'm assuming that ASI will continue to get the budget allocation it still does, in which case this will be an added sort of benefit, an added fund for its whatever, toilets or whatever. My problem is that we don't know how this is going to be monitored. Look at the Red Fort, for instance. It has a lot of archaeology in it. Even the areas which are today bare were at one point of time covered with buildings. 90% of those buildings were destroyed after 1857. So you can find any time you build a toilet, any time you build a cafeteria, you're building a sort of a walkway, you will come across archaeology. We have very little idea right now who is going to monitor all that, all those works that are going to happen. Is somebody going to be monitoring?
So it's a good idea, but there has to be supervision, and we're not a country known for supervision or good monitoring.
Now, I want to say one thing. You know, India is a very complicated country, all right, to say the least. We are the only continuously alive civilization in the whole world. Okay, so there is something called the ICROM convention, which is the Rome thing. They say here is an old building, and if you're going to do something new, it shouldn't be an intervention. It should look like new. So they'll say here is a building, make a chrome and glass bathroom. All right, but here's Anjali saying exactly the opposite. Because we are a continuously alive civilization, so in Neem Rana, for example, if a little part of the fort had fallen, why should we follow the conventions of a dead civilization? You know, the Roman civilization ended God knows when. So if they don't have kumavats who can build in stone and chuna and mortar, so when we restore a half-broken building, or as Anjali, who is an aesthete and an enlightened citizen, suggests, the bathroom should look like a part of the monument.
Sure, Mr. Nath, that is a debate opposite on the methodology that one should follow on how to restore or not to restore a monument. We're not debating that right now. We haven't even reached that point. We're debating whether there's going to be supervision, whether there is going to be monitoring, and who is going to take responsibility. I think William Dalrymple also has tweeted here saying that it is more worrying that corporates cannot be held responsible for any damage. So the question is, who is going to be held?
According to
this tweet, the contract says that the Dalmias cannot be held accountable if there's any damage that has been caused, perhaps inadvertently.
When you're building a toilet, except for the point that Ms. Little made, if when you're doing the excavation, you find something, then obviously ASI needs to supervise that. Your point was right, that we are not a country which is great on supervision. We hand it over and then we forget it, and then we have a blame game later on. And I think that's very dangerous. And I think if Mr. Alphonse's initiative is not to fall flat in the first year, and believe me, it's going to be under scrutiny, he better make sure that those elements are taken care of.
But he will. But he was in the DDA. He knows about land. He knows about these things. He's an enlightened man.
But
why would you take the worst of
something? There
is a clause which says they're not going to be held accountable.
A 400-year-old monument is extremely delicate, right? Even just maintaining it can cause irreparable harm. So it goes back to the original question.
But in India, we only criticize the doers. You know, if you do nothing with it, it'll crumble. You know,
And then just watch it crumble.
So then you'll watch it crumble. Is that better?
You know, something is better than nothing.
We should expect,
hope for the best, expect the worst. But this is better than doing nothing.
We don't want Mr. Dalmia to use his cement to restore the
but
monument.
Why would he? If it's, the building is done in stone and mortar.
There's a very important thing that I think Prerna was trying to flag. The indemnity clause.
This was first raised by the Indian History Congress.
You have gone to great lengths to protect the corporate entity. The priority when you read the vision document, which has been out since September 2017, and when you read the expression of interest, is that you're there to protect them, not so much the monument. And this is why people have a problem. प्राथमिकता की बात है आप किस चीज को अहमियत दे रहे हैं व्हाट आर यू गिविंग इंपॉर्टेंस टू यू केयर अबाउट द मॉन्यूमेंट नाउ यू से दे वोंट बी अलाउड इनसाइड द मॉन्यूमेंट एवरी सिंगल डे ओवर द लास्ट वीक दे हैव बीन रीडिंग डाउन द टर्म्स दे देमसेल्व्स हैव नो क्लैरिटी ऑन व्हाट दिस कॉन्ट्रैक्ट एनवर्सेजेस एंड दैट इज द प्रॉब्लम पॉइंट व्हेन दिस एंटायर डिबेट डाइज अवे व्हेन पब्लिक स्क्रूटनी इज लुकिंग एल्सवेयर हाउ डू यू नो दे वोंट गिव देम एक्सेस टू समथिंग एल्स बिकॉज़ द टर्म्स एज द आईएचसी पुट फोर्थ इन द लेटर आर सो ब्रॉड दे अलाउ देम टू डू एनीथिंग एंड दैट ब्रिंग्स इन द क्वेश्चन ऑफ सुपरविजन. Who then is the appellate authority? Who do you, as a tourist, going to appeal to? There was one very absurd point put forth by the government. They said the burden will move from the public to the private sector. I'm sorry, does that mean ticket prices will come down? Does that mean you will stop charging me some sort of a cess? I didn't know that I was paying out of my pocket for the Red Fort currently. That fiduciary argument, if that is the best argument they can come up with, you know that the amount of thought that has gone into this project, complete farce.
Okay, let's talking about the people and bringing the people involved. We have Vidyun Goel here. Her family has restored the Haveli of Dharampura, which is in Chandni Chowk, which is now a boutique hotel and also an award-winning hotel. But Vidyun, come in here. In your experience, how easy or difficult is it to make structural changes to old monuments? I know this is a private home, so perhaps it was easier for you all. But how would something like this change the area, the vicinity of the lives of people also who live around?
I want to start by saying India has so much history, so many monuments, so much culture. I think a lot of people have, I mean, all of us are sitting here talking about the importance of these monuments and important about the history and culture. Why are we not responsible for them? We as citizens, it is our social responsibility to be part of this. Why is this only government's responsibilities or certain section or
well,
certain
we elect
organizations?
The government,
yes,
and the government
but it is our responsibility. We as citizens should invest in these monuments because then only we will preserve them for future generations. And restoration is very difficult. It is not difficult, it is very difficult. I think everybody who's involved with heritage and architecture will tell you, but we have to start with people's participation into this. Yes, there has to be proper policies and procedures, but if people do not participate into this, there are so many monuments.
But what do you mean by that? Because Mr. Khan is asking, what is people's participation? Yeah. The fact that we're going to see the monument, we're interested, we want to take our kids, we want to teach them about our history, isn't that participation?
No, there are, I think Mr. Amarnath was mentioning there are about some 2,000 plus sites which were there. And Old Delhi also had about thousands of Havelis. In, now they are left with some hundreds of them. And I'm sure in few years, all of them will go away. Who's responsible for them? I mean, when they are deteriorating, when they are breaking, then who's standing up and saying them, I'm going to save it.
Okay.
But if people have to be brought in, if the efforts are not enough, then
and,
people have
and
to
in
be
your
brought
experience
in.
From what you've seen from your family home, there is a market for this. This is sellable. It is in the
market,
sense that
you know,
your home is now doing it's doing great
yes,
business.
Yes, and it's
lots
just
of
not,
tourists come,
yes,
lots of foreigners
and,
come.
And the area around it also develops. The street around it had developed a lot of brass markets. The area around it automatically develops. When you create something around tourism, it automatically creates employment in 10 other spaces. So tourism, India's biggest strength is our history and our culture and so many monuments which have to be preserved.
Yeah. Okay.
And we have to bring in more and more people.
So my question is this, good for tourism, bad for heritage? Bad for culture?
No, it's not bad for heritage.
See, we're talking national parks is different from a national monument.
See,
Kaziranga has a lot of tourism.
Fair enough.
Yeah,
let's,
but you have to see the carrying capacity. And how does this marry with the
so
laws
my,
of the
no,
land?
But my question was this, if who else would like to...
You know, I think there's
it's
no
good
doubt.
For tourism, but is it good for our heritage, for our culture, for our inheritance of all these...
Yes,
you know, the fact is that you have to make sure that your heritage and your culture is alive and vibrant. It, you know, if, for example, the locals don't feel participative in this, and I'm not talking about non-ASI buildings, let's go for a minute there. Corporates getting involved in these things, generating profit out of it, where it's non-ASI, where it's not owned by the government, is a great idea. Meaning the entire chain that Amarnath has built has been
no
built
problem
on the...
with anyone generating profit.
I think what I'm seeing is that we are shying away from this. Second, when there are good examples, others will follow. Please understand this. What Mr. Goyal has done and his family have done is a spectacular example of things that
Absolutely.
A bunch of other people... For example, if you go down to Chettinad, many of the wealthy Chettiars have restored their homes and they are spectacular. Some of the remnant Portuguese families are trying to do that in Goa to their old Portuguese homes.
And there is a market for this.
And
people
there is a market
for it.
What I'm saying is, when tourists don't come to India to live in a fancy chrome and glass hotel, they come because of this possibility that they can immerse themselves.
Even the royals in Rajasthan have done it for ages. I mean, this is not what we are talking about.
Correct.
We are mixing up apples and oranges. I'm sorry.
No, we're not saying that. We're saying there is a market
That's
for history and tradition.
Sure. Yeah.
All Indians, we have no museums to go to. We have monuments
Nothing.
That are decrepit. We
all
want
right.
to go see it as long as it's done in the right way. Maybe a private home has been restored in the right way.
Fair enough.
Will the Red Fort be restored in the right way? So we're not...
They can't restore the Red Fort. I'm sorry. The Dalmia Group doesn't have the expertise to restore the Red Fort. There's no way. We're just making a mockery of that. That's not going to happen. And I don't think... I hope that is not Mr. Alphonse's
I think you
plan.
Also make a difference between government and citizens. We and they. I was the youngest founder member of INTAC. All right? So I am a responsible person. I was actually
responsible for the initiation, for bringing the papers from England, telling Pupul Jaikar, Rajiv Gandhi. So why, and because I'm acting in the private space doesn't mean I become irresponsible. And I spoke this evening to Mr. O.P. Jain, who was fair the convener enough of INTAC for many years and a very prominent. He said, we must support this initiative because otherwise we are one step forward and two steps backwards.
Okay, fair enough. Let's just get some reactions of people. We're talking about people's participation. Imranji, up. क्या टूरिस्ट गाइड हो रेड फोर्ट में आप क्या आप क्या करते हो वहां पे
मीना बाजार में शॉप लगाता हूं मैं
अच्छा
रिपोर्ट पार्ट लगाता
तो आपकी आपको प्रॉब्लम है ये जो सरकार क्या कर रही है जो आइडिया है
जी सर हमें प्रॉब्लम बहुत है ये मुगलों की बनाई हुई चीज है कि भारत सरकार को यहाँ पर अपने ऊपर भरोसा नहीं है 1800 करोड़ रुपए की सालाना आमदनी होती है यहाँ पर 1800 करोड़ की और जो ये मुगलों ने बनाया है ये प्रधानमंत्री को अपने आप पे भी भरोसा नहीं है क्या कि हम लाल किले को कुछ संवार सकें और बना सकें और अब जैसे कि योगी आदित्य नारायण जी हैं जो ताजमहल है उसको भी अब भारत सरकार देने को वो कर रही है तो क्या कि ये योगी महाराज जी ने ही बनाया था क्या ये
नहीं नहीं बट सर अगर सरकार
तो शाहजहां को बुलाना पड़ेगा
उसके और लोग आएंगे ना टूरिज्म किसी को रेट जाना नहीं चाहते क्योंकि इतनी गंदगी है वहां पे अगर और लोग आएंगे तो आपके दुकान में भी तो और लोग आएंगे सरकार ट्राई तो कर रही है
नहीं नहीं जब भी हुआ ही नहीं अब शाहजहां को बुलाइए कि आपका इमारत बिगड़ गई है उसको ठीक करेंगे
मेरा क्वेश्चन है ये आप पुराने किले को इन्होंने गोद क्यों नहीं लिया
जी किसने
पुराने किले को गोद क्यों नहीं लिया
तो वो भी लेंगे कोई नहीं कह रहा
जहां से इनकम है वो जगह हम गोद लेंगे
क्या
जहां से इनकम है हम वो जगह गोद लेंगे
इनकम तो उनको पास आ नहीं रही
है बहुत सारी चीजें हैं दिल्ली के अंदर जो मेंटेन नहीं है बिल्कुल बेकार हो गई है स्कूल है
तो प्राइवेट कंपनी क्यों लेगी ना वी कांट एक्सपेक्ट देम ऑल टू बी अल्ट्रुइस्टिक उनको भी तो कुछ मिलना चाहिए
कुछ नहीं आएगा
क्यों करेंगे वहां पर मतलब उनको भी तो कोई रीजन है
नॉट गोइंग टू गेट द ब्रांड विल हैपन नॉट गोइंग टू गेट द रेवेन्यू
देयर इज नो क्वेश्चन लेट्स बी वेरी क्लियर
तो मेरा आस्था का प्रतीक है तो कोई सरकार
पैसा नहीं दे रहा है दे गेटिंग फ्री पब्लिसिटी
ये लाल किला हमारा आस्था का प्रतीक है
बिल्कुल
ये गवर्नमेंट इसको अगर मेंटेन नहीं कर पाएगी तो क्या हमें कॉर्पोरेट ग्रुप करेगी उसको
70 साल में नहीं कर पाई तो अब कितने और साल वेट करेंगे
आप टूर गाइड हो ऑफ द रेड फोर्ट
Basically, I'm a national guide, so I travel all around the country and I visited a number of private monuments and government monuments. Of course, I work Delhi as well, and when I'm talking about the Red Fort, like, you know, when I start my day, I go to Qutub Minar, I go to Humayun's Tomb, Chandni Chowk and everything. But I never try to sell this Red Fort. The one of the reason that I never sell or never ask my client to go and see that, it's of course, it's massive. It's one of the very important term of history. Is one of the largest building in our country as a heritage. But I never try to sell it because the condition of that trade fort is not that I want to show.
If you're talking, think it'll get better?
Definitely. See, we have to start from somewhere, right? Here we all talking about the money, but I don't think so that Dalmia are going to get any money. And you're talking about the advertisement. Dalmia already got the advertisement. What happening from the 7 to 8 days? We're talking about this.
We're giving them
appraisal. But my concern that even nobody have said one word that they're going to make interpretation center, which is a very important thing if it's come. And that is one of the biggest deal they will do the Dalmia. Of course, the toilets and Wi-Fi, lightning, surveillance, and everything will be there. But what we need to do, two things, interpretation
so
center.
There are many points that we actually haven't touched upon. What exactly is the history that's going to be, the audio guides, etc. Who's going to go into that? Let me just give the last word to somebody who, you're a street artist.
Yes.
And so you're doing your own beautification in your own ways of in Delhi streets and roads. You think something like this, thinking out of the box, is necessary, is required, or are we just opening up a Pandora's box?
मतलब मैं अभी discussion में सुन रहा था मतलब एक self-sustaining building है already. अगर कोई private sector वहाँ पे आके कुछ basic चीजें कर रहा है जैसे dustbin अभी ये कह रहे थे कि right foot में कुछ भी नहीं है actually में कुछ भी नहीं है वहाँ पे ना dustbin है और मैं एक public urination project भी चला रहा हूँ जिसमें मैं जब research कर रहा था तो सबसे ज़्यादा लोग रेड फोर्ट के पास यूरिनेशन कर रहे हैं तो मतलब ये भी एक अलग इशू है मतलब ना लोग मॉन्यूमेंट के ऊपर आके यूरिनेट कर रहे हैं तो मतलब इसके ऊपर भी कोई एक्शन नहीं लिया जा रहा सब बस अंदर टॉयलेट बनाने के लिए सोच रहे हैं पार्किंग स्पेस पे भी टॉयलेट बनने चाहिए वहाँ पे भी मतलब बस नोटिस करना चाहिए कि क्या हो रहा है क्या
Okay, we are completely out of time. This debate is far from over. Eyes now, it seems, on, you know, who's going to get a contract to adopt the Taj. That's probably coming up next. But I think there's one thing we can all agree on. There is no reason for why India should have such low footfalls when it comes to tourists who are visiting. Countries like Spain, which are like quarter of our size, have many more tourists, and we need to fix that. Is this the right way? It's still to be decided. Thank you so much all for joining us on Meet People Tonight. Good night. Thank you.